Next item, 179, please.
Approve revisions to the Human Resources Administrative Rules related to workplace harassment, discrimination, and retaliation, recruitment, employment of retirees, inclement weather, compensation, performance management, and prohibited conduct.
Colleagues, this ordinance amends and clarifies the city's Human Resources Administrative Rules to reflect changes in both state and federal law, and to make some other housekeeping changes to clarify policies and rules for our city's employees. The Human Resources Administrative Rules ensure that the city is upholding the highest ethical standards, acting as an employer of choice, and serving in the best interests of our community. This is an emergency item, and it is so to avoid continued conflict with State of Oregon legislative changes that came into effect on January 1st of this year. Revisions to the administrative rules will be retroactive, therefore, to January 1st. I've been informed that there is a need to introduce an amendment. I'm proposing an amendment, therefore, to the ordinance to remove from consideration changes to HRAR 2.02 due to ongoing bargaining, which is taking place with our labor unions. If the amendment is adopted, then we can direct the Bureau of Human Resources to come back to Council when they are ready to request the changes to HRAR 2.02. And Director of HR Kathy Bless is here, and she'll tee up this amendment and answer any further questions that people may have.
Absolutely, and good morning, Mayor and Commissioners. Again, Kathy Bless, Director of HR. We had some ongoing conversations with our union partners related to the definitions of HRAR 2.02, which is really outside of the legislative changes that are mandated. And so in really an abundance of caution and to be collaborative with our union partners, we want to just pull the HRAR 2.02, and then of course we will bring it back when it's ready to be adopted. So I would very much like support in amending the ordinance that eliminates 2.02.
So moved.
Second.
We have a motion from Commissioner Hardesty. We have a second from Commissioner Fritz. Any further discussion on the amendment? Please call the roll.
Fritz?
Aye.
Hardesty?
Aye.
Udaly?
Aye.
Wheeler?
Aye. The amendment's on the table.
Great. As a background, over the last year, BHR has received feedback from employees on the HR administrative rules. In November, BHR sent out a solicitation to email to all employees and labor unions for feedback on the rules. We also created an HRAR rules revision page so that employees had a central place to look for all of the documentation. We received over 100 comments from employees and labor unions. We distributed a second draft in December of 2019, did a notice and comment period that started on December 11th and went through January 6th. We had several informational meetings to discuss proposed changes with employees. The proposed revisions then were finalized February, and the result is this ordinance. And then as a follow-up to this process, comprehensive training on the new rules will occur this spring for managers and supervisors. The changes and clarifications really are as follows. Under Rule 3.01, recruitment process, it expands equitable recruitment processes to include competitive recruitment and limited competitive recruitments. This expansion applies to at-will positions and already includes regular, temporary, casual, and limited duration employees. Amendment to the Rule 3.06, employment of retirees is required due to changes in the state of Oregon around PERS. Revisions are necessary to Rule 4.01, drug and alcohol use prohibitions, to clarify the definition of drugs to not include CBD products, which are federally legal. To minimize upfront budget impacts with inclement weather incidents, Rule 4.11 modifies how these incidents are paid. The rule provides eligible employees deferred holiday hours equal to the number of hours the employee was regularly scheduled to work on the day of the event instead of a regular pay for time not worked. Rule 8.02, Hours of Work and Overtime Compensation for FLSA-covered employees. This clarifies that due to the unique nature of these operations, emergency communication supervisors employed at BOAC and serving on a 24-hour shift shall be eligible for overtime based on all hours paid over 40 in a work week, excluding paid sick leave. Work schedule changes are also expanded in Rule 8.02, not to include that overtime compensation under this section is not applicable to the short-term schedule modifications, such as work schedule changes made in response to an inclement weather event unless otherwise required by law. Modifications to Rule 8.03, Hours of Work, are necessary to address other exceptions in rare circumstances. The provisions in Rule 8.04, Compensation, eliminates verbiage no longer applicable to the Bureau Director contracts. Revision Rule to 9.02, Performance Management, establishes clear priorities, support frequent and meaningful feedback, and ensures equitable assessments and individual performance. This revision aligns with the process and goals of the city's performance management system, Success Factors. And finally, amendments necessary to Rule 11.02, prohibited conduct are generally required to clarify and expand on examples of prohibited conduct for city employees. This expansion was approved in 2019 under Resolution 37413 to replace Rule 4.05, outside employment and volunteer activities. So that is just a cleanup. I'm happy to answer any questions that you may have, and now request council to authorize BHR to make and implement the proposed changes as I have described.
Thanks, Director Bless. Commissioner Hardesty has a question.
Absolutely.
Thank you, Director. My question has to do with the overtime rule as it relates to employees who work a 24-hour shift.
So that provision was added for the emergency communications supervisors. It was at the request of the BOEC leadership to provide overtime on paid leave, excluding sick time, because their supervisors are regularly forced to work beyond their normal schedules due to their 24/7 operations. Currently, if a supervisor takes vacation earlier in the week and then is forced to cover 4 hours for a peer who calls in sick, they don't get any sort of premium. This makes the leap from a 911 operator to a supervisor even less appealing than it already is for dispatchers.
I appreciate that. And dispatching, I was more thinking fire, which always works a 24-hour shift.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just want to make sure that we're not exacerbating inequities in our systems when we talk about putting a rule in place that impacts all employees. Just want to make sure that we've considered what happens to employees who work 24 hours. I want to make sure that they're not unduly impacted by this rule change. Most of the time, it ends up costing me a lot more money than I anticipated, so I just want to be really clear of what this really means for us. Can you?
Absolutely. So the rule itself is unique to the emergency communication supervisor classification. It would not expand beyond outside of 911.
But I would suspect that others, as we do negotiations, will be looking for expansion of that role. So I just want to make sure that
we would not forward that interest. Absolutely.
I see that we have legal counsel who is very willing and able to assist us in this.
Absolutely.
Effort.
Good morning, Mayor, Commissioners. Commissioner Hardesty, this rule previously.
Do you identify yourself?
Oh, sorry, Heidi Brown from the City Attorney's Office. My apologies. This rule previously had included certain supervisors under certain circumstances where they would get overtime, and it didn't cause a big issue at that time. That got changed, and in hopes of be more uniform with the application of it. And then I think in this instance, the realization by BOAC was that was creating this,
an unfair...
Well, the compensation wasn't enough to entice people to want to move up to the supervisory level, but it was previously in place, so I would be hopeful that it won't have the consequence that you're worrying about.
Thank you. I'm just always concerned that we don't normally, when we're thinking about making minor changes, we don't sometimes think about what the impact are on our 24-hour shift workers. So thank you. Appreciate that.
Thank you.
Commissioner Daly.
Thank you. I have a few questions. So employees are expected to report instances of harassment, discrimination, and retaliation, regardless of its origin. So would that include harassment, discrimination, and retaliation from members of the public?
So that is the rule that was pulled.
Oh, okay.
2.02.
Still working.
Yeah, still working on all of those pieces.
Okay, sorry I missed that detail. The reason I ask is because I'm hearing from many city employees that they are experiencing an increase in harassment, in particular, internally and from members of the public, and that members of the public are finding creative ways to harass and bother employees that are women, but the conduct couldn't necessarily be construed as sexual harassment because, for instance, they're making an animal noise at only women that work with the public in a space open to the public. How are we going to address things like that?
Oh, sure. So the Human Resource Administrative Rules are conduct rules for employees and how we treat each other.
Mm-hmm.
The how the public treats a city employee is really outside of the scope of what the HRARs are intended to provide.
Mm-hmm.
I do think it's an incredibly important issue, and I'll let Heidi speak a little bit on kind of the public interaction.
I also think it's an important issue, and I guess I need to know where those rules and regulations live. Is that more of a state level issue? And
yeah, Commissioner Hardesty, excuse me, Commissioner Udaly, sorry.
It happens all
just
the time.
Just talking to you and got that in my brain. We do want to ensure that our employees have a safe and protected workplace, and we have had instances with other commissioner offices that we've worked with to help when they've had folks who have been subjected to discriminatory treatment. What you describe, whether it's sexual harassment or it's harassment based on gender, all those things are prohibited under state law. We would want to at least work with all of our employees in an effort to protect them from discriminatory and harassing treatment, whether it's from colleagues, which the administrative rule covers, or from citizens. So if you're hearing of instances like that, certainly if we could have the employee or the manager or somebody let BHR know, and then they would work with our office to try to be creative in figuring out ways to help protect that employee.
Okay. My next question is about the language about off-duty conduct that creates a disrespectful work environment based on...
We are still working on that. That's part of the language that the union and our office is working on, and Commissioner Fritz's office had raised with us as well.
Well, I just want to also raise my concerns about that because we have at least a couple well-publicized instances of that kind of behavior without seeming to be able to do anything about it. So I'd like to know more about that. And then my final question is... could you briefly describe how the upcoming changes to HR 2.02 are stronger than the current rules?
The main gist of the changes that we were making were because there's a new law, the Workplace Fairness Act, that is going into effect in October Well, there's one part that went into effect last October, but that just has to do with the statute of limitations and expanding it. But the bulk of it, which has to do with how we need to interact with employees when we receive a complaint that falls under 2.02, the bulk of that takes effect this coming October. So the rule was looked at to address that. And then while we were in there, I think there was an interest between BHR and our office in trying to clarify issues, not so much to change it, because I think it still comports with what we understood was the interest in as far as protecting employees from discrimination, harassment, and retaliation. So the intent wasn't to actually change the rule, but rather to better explain it and have people really have something within the rule, in addition to our 2.02 training that we provide, that would help people understand what conduct we really are looking at.
Okay. I just would like to be kept informed moving forward, because I am really concerned about this issue of employees being harassed by members of the public. And if they're getting creative about the harassment, then we need to get creative about our response.
And Commissioner, I would be happy to talk to you with Director Bless about this and learn who's being subjected to it, and then talk to their managers about ways that we can help protect people from that, because that really, we don't want that to happen. Some of it we can't control, but to the extent that we can provide support and protections for them, absolutely, we really want to do that, because we don't want people subjected to that.
All right, thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you.
Very good. We'll now hear public testimony on this item. Carla, any public testimony?
Yes, we have three people signed up.
Excellent.
Lightning, Maggie, and Shedrick.
Should we dice up the order this time? Maggie, you want to start first this time?
Sure.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Okay. So years and years and years ago, many years ago, back in college, I actually used to be a phone operator, and I had the wonderful opportunity to break protocol, and we had one of our accounts was one of those guys who flies the helicopters, or the company that flies the helicopters to put out forest fires. And so normally we're supposed to page them, but it was the middle of the night, and this guy called me, and it was obvious that life and limb were in danger. So I called this guy at home and woke him up. And I was not supposed to do that, but I did. And because I called him at home, this guy who called me did not lose his house. Mm. Because the flames were licking at his house. And if I did not call the helicopter guy at home, he would have stayed in bed for God knows how many minutes. So it's very important what 911 does. They save life and limb. So I would say, you know, if anybody, regardless of an employee or a family member or public, is harassing someone and getting away in the job of somebody who's, you know, job it is to save people. I would say that's taken very seriously, but if they're off duty and it's something personal that has nothing to do with their job, wouldn't they just go through the normal protocol of, you know, whatever authority you would contact, depending, you know, is it bullying? Is it, you know, online bullying? Wouldn't they just, you know, contact the police like anybody else? I mean, you know, we don't have a monarchy. It's not like a king. You're not working for the king, so.
I'm happy to answer that for you, Maggie. We do have a code of conduct that we expect from city employees, right, that every city employee receives when they're hired. There's no exceptions to the code of conduct, whether you're elected or whether you are hired at a front desk.
Oh, okay. So this is if the city employee is responsible for the offending behavior. Okay.
This is all about city. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Public debt.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I would say to any city employee, definitely you want to, you know, hold yourself up and to the highest level because you're a role model for everyone, for the public. So think about that every day. You're a role model for the public. So, yeah.
Thank you.
Thanks, Maggie.
Good morning.
Morning. I'm Cedric. I believe this about, let's say there's a rally at the mayor's house, and somebody asks the city employee, where's the mayor's house? And that person says, well, go look it up by yourself. They're stuck in a no-win situation. If it's embarrassing to you, why did you tell this person where my house is at? At the same time, if they don't tell them where the house is at, they were rude to have them look it up themselves. So I do believe this, that employee has a right to know or have it annotated. This had something to do with a mass rally at your house. And if it's ruled by you that they should be demoted or fired, that needs to come up, that they were really under a really bad situation here where you're saying, in hindsight, I was embarrassed by the press, but the employee was in a no-win situation because either they're rude to the person, look up the mayor's house yourself, and I think Mayor Hales was the first person to be involved with this kind of thing, and then you got involved too. As people are finding out where your house is at, it gets on the news, and then they're stuck. Either they're rude to the person who's asked the question, if they say, you know, find it yourself.
Yeah, and just to be crystal clear, your point's well taken, but my house is, number one, readily available online, and I have not been aware of any employees asking about that issue, nor have I retaliated against any employees who've shared where my house is. But thing number two, just so people know, I don't live at my house anymore. And that's also been made very clear in the public.
If you evaluate me as an employee, I have the right to annotate that question was asked to me that day.
Yeah, okay. Understood. Thanks, Shutter. Appreciate it. Thank you. Good morning.
Yes, my name is Lightning. I represent Lightning Super Karma. One of the things I saw on the 2.02 against workplace harassment is jokes. Somebody saying a joke. Hmm. I'm offended by that joke you just said. Mm-hmm. Now, when we look at that, it's interesting when you're looking at Mayor Bloomberg and what Elizabeth Warren said about him. Now, if he was working here, would he be fired? I think he would be. If he was supplying money to this city through grants, would we stop the grants immediately and say, due to these comments that Elizabeth Warren stated, we're not taking your money anymore? You either make a stand or you don't. What is that money worth to you? What does it mean to you if somebody's making those comments and they're found to be making those comments and then they're signing non-disclosure agreements that they made those comments and then you receive money from them? And of course, I know the city of Portland would receive no money from the Bloomberg organization on any type of grants, and you deny it immediately and give it back. And I agree with you 100% on doing that. Now, on the overtime issues, I think there has to be a cap put in place on just how much overtime you can do. And I don't know if that's really kind of controlled by the unions on that. And it's I really want to see that just set in position. There has to be a cap. That's all. Just put a cap, and we're all good on that. The issue on the weather conditions. Well, we're in a situation right now. Let's take it one step further. Let's talk about COVID-19. Are we going to have discussions on that as far as on the employees? As you can see, the room appears to be even more empty today, which I think there could be a reason for that. That's just my opinion. But now if the employees say, I'm scared. Everything I'm seeing right now, I want to stay home. I want to continue my pay. I think they should receive their pay. Now, that's my opinion. That's a far reach, but it isn't too much of a far reach when you look what's going on in China, you look what's going on in other countries, and then you look what's going on beginning here. So we're going to cross an area here which I think really needs to come up for discussion. What are we going to do on this COVID-19 pertaining to the employees, the city employees? If they're called to come into work and they feel that their safety is in jeopardy, how are they going to be treated? Will they be retaliated against? There needs to be a plan taken into consideration at this time on COVID-19. And that is my main concern right now, more than anything that I can ever deal with in this city right now. And I study everything, and I go over the mapping and everything on this, and the pathogen mapping and everything, and every scientist and what they say. And let me tell you something. The city needs to set something up now, and I'm asking that to be set up immediately. Thank you.
Commissioner Hardesty, and then I have a comment.
Thank you.
I'm sorry, Commissioner Fritz, then Commissioner Hardesty.
Interesting, in the age of Trump, there's tons of retaliation from Trump's administration. So,
Maggie,
yeah, comment all you want on that.
Maggie, hang on.
So we actually, Lightning, we already have administrative rules that allow people to do teleworking, and there is a process that they get approval from their manager and that they can work from home if they get that.
Because of COVID-19?
No.
Put that on the record.
We have had it. No, we have had it.
Put it on the record.
We have had it for years.
Put it on the record. COVID-19, say it on the record.
No.
No.
Okay, thank you very much.
Also, we passed statewide paid sick time. So everybody in Oregon who works for an employer of five or more gets to stay home when they're sick, and we encourage people to do that.
Commissioner Hardesty.
Thank you, Commissioner Fritz. As a emergency room nurse by training and someone who's been in the healthcare field for ever, I just want to reiterate that the last thing we want to do is make people lose their mind about a potential virus that may or may not impact folks. Let me be clear.
Wait, Lightning, don't go, because I want to say something. Give us two more minutes or something else I want to say.
We're not excluding you. No, no.
Come on in.
Today has been a fabulous day with you,
Lightning. It's upside down day. We're inviting you back. Sit down.
See what happens when all our communications people leave, right? It's like all of a sudden we have time. But seriously, I have absolute confidence in Multnomah County Health Department. And just so you know, the Bureau of Emergency Management, which I am in charge of, are doing daily phone calls. We're providing daily information throughout our entire first responder system. There is no need for people to lose their minds at this time. We already have systems in place that, if necessary, we will be able to deploy, right? So, the best advice is wash your hands, and if you feel sick, stay home and use your sick leave or your vacation or whatever you got, right? Let's not feed into the hysteria around people who are immigrants and refugees. I've heard that people aren't drinking. 35% of the population is no longer drinking Corona beer because they believe that's where you get the virus.
Oh boy.
We have an obligation.
Ever, and this is comical right now. I disagree with the statements, even tying it to Corona.
I've made nothing.
People need to take this serious. Study China. Study the other countries. Right. Follow the path.
Thank you, Lightning.
Get your facts.
Okay, now we're going to kick you out. Bye bye.
Excluded.
It's been a good day.
The people of this city. Thank you very much.
I agree with Lightning.
You know, it's hard to compliment Lightning when he doesn't quiet down so that you can. Share that we all have a concern, but we also have to be responsible with our concern. And we have to make sure that people who are the most vulnerable have what they need to get through this crisis. I have every confidence in our health department and our first responders that we are ready and able to respond when it's necessary.
So the only comment I wanted to make to Lightning, and unfortunately, he left. We have Director Blass here from HR. There are already contingency plans under development for the city employees, and communications are going out to city employees. That's all I wanted to contribute to that particular conversation.
They just set up the Oregon
Thank you.
Building. Come on.
Please call the roll.
Fritz.
Well, Interim Director Kathy Bless is doing an absolutely fantastic job, and not some interim directors are kind of hesitant to do things in while they're in that role, and you have absolutely grasped the urgency of many of these issues. And so there's a lot of changes in these administrative rules. My staff and I have gone through them, and we very much appreciate them. We thank you for working with us in the City Attorney's Office for taking another look at the 2.02. I can't ever say 2.02 without thinking of Commissioner Fish. And, you know, just 12 years ago, you know, we didn't think we needed rules on how people behave in the workplace. And then lo and behold, we did. Because if you don't have the rule, then you can't say, actually, that's not okay. And so thank you for allowing more discussion of it. Obviously, as Commissioner Hugh Daly has put some of her concerns on the record, it is one of the most important that we all care about, and so look forward to that coming back in fairly short order. But in the meantime, happy to support these changes. Aye.
Hardesty?
Aye.
Hugh Daly?
Well, I think I've already made it clear that I am concerned about city employees being harassed for doing their jobs, so I do look forward to how we can address that in the upcoming changes to HR 202. In the meantime, I'm pleased to support this. I vote aye.
Wheeler?
Aye. The ordinance is adopted. Thank you for your hard work on that. To the regular.